It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy and Renee are here. We're going to keep an eye on the Supreme Court arguments, pro and con, for Aereo. We'll also talk about how you can make your own iPhone leak pictures look even more authentic. It's all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 399, recorded April 22nd, 2014. Totally not better than Siri. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Grubhub. Grubhub delivers the food from your favorite local restaurants. Get $5 off your first order of $10 or more at grubhub.com/MacBreak. Use the offer code podcast. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 295,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/MBW. to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MacBreak. Happy Earth Day. It's time for MacBreak Weekly. Show that covers your Apple needs in great detail. All in Apple News with Andy Yannotko from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Happy Earth Day, Leo.
Happy Earth Day. In commemoration of the day, today,
the 65-inch TV that normally I just leave on during the entire show upstairs unwatched so that I don't have to wait for the colors to warm back up when I come back 3 hours later. I've not turned it off, but I put it on screensaver mode. So
you, sir, are a great American.
I'm just giving Gaia a big old hug today.
A great citizen of the world. Also with us from Canada, from Montreal, home of the better bagel, Mr. Rene Ritchie. Hi. And smoked meat.
If I'd known it was Earth Day, Leo, I would have put a giant green leaf on my head.
Oh, it's not Earth Day in Canada. And Canada, like everything else, they're doing it 15 days later.
Well, we have to wait for the thaw, Leo. We can't do Earth Day when it's still permafrost.
Actually, I think it is Earth Day in Canada. I went to Whole Foods this morning. And, of course, at Whole Foods, I wasn't thinking that it was Earth Day. Except that I saw the Google Doodle that has a bird in it, and I thought, oh, that must be Earth Day. But I went into Whole Foods, and they're all wearing funny hats. That's how they're commemorating Earth Day.
That's funny hat Earth Day.
Is it funny hat day? No, it's Earth Day. Oh, now I get it. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome.
That's my favorite opening comment from Leo on a show. Reading the show notes and going...
Oh, boy.
There's nothing.
Anybody have a funny story from the weekend we can talk about?
There is. You got a movie clip? Anything. There is so nothing.
No. Some cool things happened over the weekend. We got a new Apple TV update. So it's good. It's good to see some new channels there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's good. Okay.
Yeah, I just added that. That just dropped yesterday. I just added that.
What's cool. New Apple TV?
Now you got your A&E channel, now you got your History channel, now you got your Lifetime channel. So
they made it, they added channels.
Exactly. So Tim Gunn arriving on the Apple TV, to me, that has to be a big update.
That is huge.
That has to be a valuable upgrade, right? And some of these were actually apps that were available on Roku, but given that you don't have the option of adding things manually to the Apple TV, any more content is more content, is more valuable stuff.
Before you jump up in joy and satisfaction, you should know that even though the Apple TV has Lifetime, A&E, and the History Channel, you can only watch it if you are a subscriber of DirecTV, Verizon, Fios, or Cablevision Optimum.
Yeah.
So I'm a Comcast customer. I see those icons. Press the button. It says, great, login. Oh, sorry, you're Xfinity. We can't help you.
Yeah. We'd like to add more providers eventually. Please be patient and just ignore this icon for now.
Who is that? Is that Comcast not making a deal with the History Channel? Is it Apple not making a deal with Comcast? What's the... Who? How?
Why?
Why?
Yeah. I happen to know somebody who was an executive in the cable industry throughout the 90s. And he left to preserve his sanity. And I tried to ask him a couple of years ago about what is going to have to happen. And he basically explained it to me that a lot of it is really a case of executives in place right now simply don't like this, don't like the business model of internet TV, don't want the business model of, right. of internet TV. They're making so much money off of the old business model that there's just no pressure on them to actually change. And so he feels as though a lot of people are going to have to retire out of the system. And you're going to get the first generation of people who grew up or really are relying on this mode of television. Because, I mean, you think about the amount of pushback to some really great ideas. Coincidentally, I think today is the day that Aereo's
arguments in the Supreme Court, heard
between the networks and the cable companies in the Supreme Court to defend the idea that that the Aereo service is going to be should be legal and should be allowed to proceed. And this is a fight that Aereo has wanted for so long that they could have gone through intermediate courts to get there. But as soon as the cable company said we want to be heard from the Supreme Court, Aereo said bring it on, because we've been winning. We've had a couple of losses, but we want the Supreme Court to basically allow us to run roughshod over the entire country. And it's such a great service. It's so well in tune with the way that people would want to watch TV from now on, the ability to simply stream any local channel to pretty much any studly device they have, that I really think that I'm really fighting for. I think it's something that consumers really, really should win, because I'm always on the side of the consumers. And this is just holding the service back is not something that is going to be in their best interest. Sorry for the stuttering.
So,
354, Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services versus...
We're listening now, right now, to the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Versus Sebelius. Mr. Clement?
Oyez, oyez, oyez. Actually, I love it. I wonder if he says that.
This morning
no.
Consolidated cases, number 13,
that's my favorite part of the whole thing. Sebelius, so if you go to... These are oral arguments from... March 25th, Sebelius versus the Hobby Lobby stores. That was a big case. Oh, man.
This one's pretty interesting because one justice had to recuse himself for reasons that they didn't explain, which means that it's an 8-justice panel. And if it goes across party lines, if it's a tie, the win goes to Aereo. So it's going to be interesting.
Same thing happened. They just did a decision this morning. I got it. And first the Wall Street Journal said it was 7-2. And they said, whoops, no, 6-2, because a judge recused him or herself as well. I don't remember what that one was. So we won't hear a decision. These are oral arguments now. Right? Is that right?
I believe so. I don't know what the timetable is, but it's not going to be a good movie style ending. It's going to take a while for this to percolate, and then when they write the decision, that's when we're going to figure out exactly what wiggle room people have. But this is almost like Apple Samsung in terms of acrimony. We've had networks say that CBS has said that, well, if Aereo wins this, we're not going to be a broadcast network anymore. We're going to go to cable, so go to hell. And Fox and other networks have said, well, if Aereo wins this case, we're not going to be broadcasting the World Series on free TV. We're going to put it on cable.
Which is both
pathetic, and also they make so much money off of transmissions that this is like the little kid saying, well, if I don't get cake and eat cake for dinner, I'm gonna leave and never come back. And the mom says, okay.
So if you go to supremecourt.gov, I presume in a couple of weeks you'll be able to hear the oral arguments that are going on right now for the Aereo case. And there is also oyez.org, oyez.org, which is from the Chicago Kent College of Law, University of Chicago Kent College of Law. And they do have a little bit of video with one of their professors at IIT Chicago Kent College of Law explaining the ins and outs of this case. So this is a big case for everybody who's watching. I mean, this is, it reminds me so much, Andy, of the music industry, where the executives in the music industry 10 years ago, basically, I was told this by somebody in the music industry, They just said, we know it's going to happen. We know copy protection is dead. We know that everything's going to be digital. We know all this is going to happen. We just don't want to have it happen on our watch. And we're just going to sit here.
And get every penny out first.
We're going to just keep it the way it is as long as we can, then retire. And then, as you said, the younger guys are and gals are going to come in who have a little bit more vision, and this logjam will break. Meanwhile, your Apple TV, this is not the big update we've been expecting. This is just
This is just the channels. They do this all the time. They come to partnership deals. Yeah. We didn't get those channels in Canada, but it's an international issue. We had an app on the iOS App Store for each of our networks, CTV, Global, City TV, and CBC, and they were great. That you could just basically watch any show, and then
live?
Little by little. No, you don't have to wait till the next day, but yeah, you could watch them on demand. And little by little, they've just been ruined. First, they went to only 3 episodes because they realized that stacking prevented them from having replay rights and tertiary replay rights. Then they locked the last 2 episodes unless you subscribe to the cable company. But in Canada, every network is owned by a distributor. Rogers owns Shaw.
Right.
CTV is owned by Bell, and Global is owned by Shaw. And you can only subscribe using the networks that owns them, which is ridiculous. And none of them are owned by a Quebec company, so you can't get any of them in Quebec.
Which is why cable companies should not own the companies that make the content.
No, and they turned off AirPlay was working beautifully on all of them. They crippled AirPlay, no longer works on them. And those apps have now become almost unusable. And it's going to take an extinction level event before, or some young upstart to really push this aside.
Some of this also, I would bet, has to do with, you kind of said it, the agreements that they've made for rights with the production companies that made the content and so forth, that they're older agreements, and those agreements don't include this kind of streaming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I forget who said it. Someone was explaining that even in a case of Comcast and NBC, when it's owned by the same company, the studio will refuse the right. Like the broadcast, the distribution company will want to distribute the shows. They'll want to stack them by Netflix, but the studio will not because they get repeat rights and they get money for all these different versions of the same program.
Did you see the Netflix ad? I saw it this morning. Oh, I love the Netflix ad. Actually, I guess it's not a new ad. Let me see if I can find it here.
I love them yelling at Comcast.
This is it. This is it. Can you get my audio?
What?
Oh, I can't believe that just happened.
I cannot believe that just happened.
This was going to be our thing.
What are you doing?
We made a pact.
You watched ahead.
No. Okay, I watched it on my way to work, caught some episodes at my desk, and I started season 2 while you were sleeping.
Season 2?
Netflix.
TV shows
and movies on demand for $8.
That's a conversation had in my house, as a matter of fact. That's what I love. You can do that. And I understand. They don't have the agreements. They don't blah,
it's aligned
blah,
with
blah.
Consumer interest. Imagine that.
But it's such a great ad because it really it's totally identifiable. That's why we love Netflix, why we like House of Cards, because we can. And they had the good sense not to release season 2 until after we had all watched season 1, one hopes. It's so much. Isn't this funny? This is, this happens a lot, but it's really notable how the interests of the consumers, the people who are buying the content, are so unaligned with the people who make it and distribute it, particularly the people who distribute it.
Well, that's why I think this Aereo decision, I hope they win, is such a big deal because Cablevision got the right to use DVRs, but that also got the original Cablevision verdict from the Supreme Court that established that if you are just providing the hardware that someone can use to take the recording that they have a right to and streaming it to another place, that's not rebroadcasting. That's the basic principle that one of the basic principles that Aereo was founded upon. But if Aereo can win this, that means that they've essentially paid all the money to settle this legal issue, and that will give a lot of other companies the freedom to produce stuff like this. I also hope that it will provoke networks to find a way to say, well, look, if other we're not going to this is now legal, we cannot stop that now. All we can do is make sure that we're the guys who are getting the money for this service as opposed to funding other startups. So maybe we'll start to create a CBS app or an ABC or an NBC app that streams pretty much everything, the entire feed. But as as Renee said, there's just so many legal agreements that ties between the network, network-owned shows, producers, independent networks, local networks, that I appreciate that it might be a lot simpler than simply having the desire to do it, or having a, you know, a 31-year-old executive finally getting it and then to flipping the switch on this kind of service.
It seems pretty obvious when you refer to the Cablevision case. That was the case where a company was doing DVR in this cloud. So just actually, which is what Aereo does as well, where you could say, hey, I want you to record this for me. And the Supreme Court ruled positively on that.
Right. The networks had the exact same disagreement. They said that, no, you're rebroadcasting this content and you're not allowed to rebroadcast. Supreme Court said that, no, this is a hardware. This is a service that the customer who streams their a DVR show has a right to that recording because of the way that the law is right now. It's not being there. The cable company is not creating the recording. It is the user who's creating the recording on cable equipment. And the only person who is able to actually receive that is the subscriber to that DVR service. And so 1-2-3 means that this is not a rebroadcast.
You know, and that's, I mean, I'm no lawyer, and I'm sure they'll talk about it on This Week in Law. But it seems to me like, well, okay, that proves it's okay for Aereo to do what it's doing. But I do know that this current Supreme Court seems to rule very strongly in favor of incumbent businesses and not so much in favor of upstarts.
What we need is an antenna on Apple Compass 2 for every American.
So we can all get Cupertino TV.
Right. But again, that's why this eight justice panel is so interesting, because again, if the rulings that tend to favor business over the over consumers and the public interest tend to be going 5-4. So if that is sort of a I won't say a political division, but at least an ideological division, now it could be a 4-4 decision. And once again, if it's a tie, essentially Aereo wins, as far as I understand.
And we don't know which justice recused herself or himself.
We do. I just don't remember. They didn't say the reasons why they recused themselves. That's the only air of mystery.
Okay. I mean, this, I think, is as important as the Betamax case, mm-hmm. as important as the Cablevision case. This is a big case. We'll watch with great interest. And I'm with you, Andy. I deeply hope that the Supreme Court does the right thing.
Yeah. It's electronic ownership rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting, too, because Aereo... It's clear that part of their business plan is, and here is the 60% of our operating expenses and investment we're going to be spending on the big lawsuit that's definitely going to happen. Because about a year ago, they announced really ambitious plans city by city by city to expand the service, and those were put on hold. They were supposed to be expanding. Right now, it's the Northeast and parts of the Midwest. They've gotten Boston, they've gotten Chicago, but it was supposed to expand into other New England states and other Midwestern states by the end of last year. And that basically put a whole kibosh on that. So if they win, I think it's going to be about a week before there's a press release from Aereo saying, good news, Dayton, Ohio, you're going to be getting Aereo soon.
The justice, I think I found it here. Apparently the justice that recused himself did so because he has stock in one of the plaintiffs. Let me see here. I've got an old New Yorker article that should.
Bob Comcast had to recuse himself today.
Justice Alito recused himself from the petition decision, possibly because of his stock holdings, which suggests he may recuse himself from the case. Alito is one of the justices that does support incumbents over upstarts, so that might be good. Might be a vote out of the pot that would be against Aereo. We'll watch with interest, I'm sure. And when are we going to see an Apple? Is Apple okay? Apple's probably saying, "Well, let's see what happens there." Because wouldn't it be great to do a deal with Aereo, Apple TV, and Aereo? That would be amazing.
An Aereo app where they don't have to deal. They don't have to deal with all the agreements they'd have to do to get all these license agreements in place.
You got to think there's an engineer in a closet in Cupertino who's got it working, right?
They've already got an Aereo app on Roku, and it works brilliantly.
Yeah.
So
and Aereo is initially came out on iPad. It was an iPad app. So I don't think this is a challenge at all.
Yeah.
And imagine, I mean, Aereo has not only the ability to watch TV. Now, you have to live in that city, right?
Exactly. They were really, really careful to make sure they cross their I's and dot their T's, you know, with all the legal stuff here.
They dotted the I's and crossed the T's. But
thank you. It's always a big risk to make a joke like that, because hopefully people will understand that
you did that
being
on purpose, yes.
As opposed to no, he really doesn't know what the.
He doesn't have a cross.
I once made a binomial theorem joke to people who have like PhDs in math, and my God, the relief I have. No, he really does know what the binomial theorem is. He was trying to be funny for it.
Okay, it's a math joke.
But yeah, I mean, there are heaps of restrictions on how you can use the service. It really is only there to reproduce what you would be able to do if you were had an old-fashioned TV with a set of rabbit ears.
If Aereo gets in every metro, I mean, here in Petaluma, for instance, I think we're technically in the San Francisco metro, but I can't get any of those stations. If I could rent an antenna in San Francisco, I wouldn't need Comcast.
Right.
That's exactly why people
can't do this. Like Boston has Aereo, Chicago has Aereo. So if I were to spend a weekend in Chicago, that doesn't mean that I can get access to the DVR content that I recorded in Boston. I can get access to whatever live TV is streaming in Chicago because of that.
Oh, that you said something interesting. I didn't understand that, because I have watched Long Island, I mean, New York television in Petaluma on somebody who had Aereo in Manhattan. And had her iPad here, and she said, "Here, you want to see Aereo?" And that did work.
It's not.
So you're saying it monitors where you are and will not allow you to watch DVR content if you're not in town?
I've tried that earlier, and it didn't work.
Oh, that's
granted, also because it's been explained to me that, again, if they were to allow you to be in San Jose and watch TV from someplace else, then that is not rabbit ears style reception.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
If there's a free. I'm at the point where I have to basically look at all my notes from like about a year ago. But it really is a complicated system where it's simple if you're in your actual reception area. It's complicated if you're outside of your reception area, because again, as soon as a network can make the case that you're letting people watch TV that they're not entitled to actually watch, that's when the whole thing starts to go kerflooey.
Uh-oh.
Anna, sling box it.
Anna Marie Cox just tweeted, I guess, a transcript from the ongoing conversation. Justice Scalia, what would the difference be? I mean, you could take HBO, right? You could carry that without performing. Mr. Justice, no. HBO's not over the air. It's a private service, Mr. Justice. They don't watch TV, folks.
Game of what?
Well, they're big-time torrenters, you know. They're still watching Falcon Crest, I think.
Justice Scalia says, now about that Red Wedding. Wow. This is coming out bit by bit from reporters. Justice Scalia, what would the difference be? I mean, you could take HBO, you could carry that without performing. No, HBO is not over the airwaves. You know, when you hear stuff like this, but I should caution people, you cannot, and I've seen this before, you can't really judge how this is going from the oral arguments, because justices take all sorts of positions and they're really trying to challenge the attorneys, but they may not feel one way or the other. But cross your fingers here. Cross your fingers on this one. So that would be one reason Apple might wait on a new Apple TV. Let's just see what happens. The other is, I presume, their ongoing conversations with Comcast, right? Although those are obviously non-starters. But Apple seems to keep going back.
Pulling the threads. They've got intense interest.
Yeah. Okay. So one should not hold out for our new Apple TV?
I'd still like an SDK for WWDC. I think that'd be a nice gift for everybody.
I've been spending more time with Apple TV, specifically because I've spent 2 months not using Apple TV at all. So make sure that I understand exactly how well it works and what it does and what it doesn't do. Because, you know, sometimes the streams get crossed a little bit. And man, am I hurting back to go back to the Roku or even the Fire TV, because I never realized how often my Apple TV insists that I wait for something before. I never see a progress wheel on any of the other streaming boxes, but it seems like nothing starts on the Apple TV before shut up and wait. Here's a black screen. Enjoy this. Meditate on the guru meditation deal, and that's what you got. And Apple doesn't keep something on the price list if they are ready to abandon it. They mm-hmm. will just simply cut that cord. Mm-hmm. And there have been so many times when we've just not seen a lot of movement on a certain product. And then it's because it's just not a high priority. But at some point, they produce this huge update to it. That where it's like 2 years worth of incremental updates that hit all at once. I'm sure that's what's going to happen with Apple TV. It's way too valuable a product.
Walt Mossberg says Apple is like a movie studio. We'll find out what the hell he's talking about in just a second. It's actually basically an apologia for Apple from Recode. Hey, speaking of Recode, have you guys been watching Silicon Valley, the TV show?
I have not.
Oh, I have not.
Can you not get it in Canada?
I'm probably the Canadian HBO might have it, but I don't. What channel is it on, Leo?
HBO.
Okay, maybe I'll have to look.
Right after GOT, you got Silicon Valley. It's a comedy by Mike Judge, the Beavis and Butthead, and more to the point, Office Space guy. And I really like it. And apparently, Twit made a very minor appearance in the third episode. Thanks should I say his name? You think Chad? This won't get him in trouble. No?
I don't think so.
No. Eric Nelson, who's a VFX artist.
It's not like it was absurd for a tech company to make it. Yeah.
He's a fan of Twits, and in the third episode, it's actually a very funny scene. Not the video, but I wonder if we have the image. I think he sent us the image, didn't he? Yeah. Let me see here. Here it is. In the third episode, they're reading about... The plot is that there's this young guy doing a startup called Pied Piper, and then he's living in an incubator, and this real, I want to use a bad word, bad guy, Dim Wad, who is his landlord and 10% owner of this company, gives interviews to all the big tech things about... the company in a very inappropriate way. But what's interesting is apparently in the script, it called for him giving an interview to Kara Swisher in All Things D. And so Mike, Eric, who knows a little bit better, said, no, it's Recode now. So I'm watching the show, and all of a sudden I see there's Recode, a Kara Swisher, fake Kara Swisher article. But then look, if you look really closely, I know you probably can't, and I missed it. So there's three tabs there. There's The Verge is the second tab. What's the third tab? Twit.
Nice.
I thought that was, I would never have seen it, and I doubt anybody else did, but he said, well, I thought they should make it Recode, and then second, and I did mention that, I guess, and then second of all, he put a Twit in there. He said, we'll try to get you in the third season, too, as an Easter egg.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's important that they couldn't like actually incorporate you guys in the script, because it's not as though you have production level broadcast quality studio right. able to stream like that. I mean, it would take a visionary show to see that opportunity there, and HBO might not be that show to figure.
I was just so thrilled because it's actually, if you guys get a chance to see it, it's a very, very good show. It's very funny, and as you can tell, it's authentic. I mean,
yes,
you know, I was kind of like, I got this little frisson when they said, look, Kara Swisher just wrote about it in Recode. I went, what? Whoa, that's very authentic. So that's neat. That's nice. I liked it. Anyway, thank you, Eric, for sneaking us in there. That's good.
Did she write about that experience? Because I would, if I were approached like that, I would like, okay, but I have to write the fake copy because I won't have you having a lead paragraph that leads off with the word so. Or
right.
So
right.
So this so, is the thing that
then I
or an Apple is doomed headline. I have to say, I didn't write that. I didn't even fake write that.
Word just in from the Los Angeles Times, Justice Alito did not recuse himself. So fears of a 4-4 tie on the Aereo case are unfounded. All nine judges are sitting on the case.
Damn and blessed.
Yeah, actually it's an unfortunate. Yeah. Who wins in a tie?
Usually the defendant. I was reading about this a couple of weeks ago to prepare for it, and that's when they were speculating there would be a recusement, and that if it were a tie, it basically would go to Aereo.
But he recused sort of himself.
Anything with the law or engine maintenance, I have to have data that's in front of me to read off of to make sure that I'm remembering things correctly.
Well, Anyway, he's there.
Awesome.
LA Times does mention that, for the record, an earlier version of this post referred to Justice Samuel Alito as Thomas Alito. We apologize for the error.
He recused himself.
Thomas is not on the case, just so you know. A tie refers backwards to the lower court ruling. So, of course, the Supreme Court only hears these things on appeal, or mostly only hears them on appeal. There are cases where it would hear, be the first to hear a case. But in this case, it's an appeal. So it would basically it would be basically an approval of the lower court ruling, which was in favor of Aereo. I don't know.
So complicated.
I don't remember. Who appealed this? Let me see if I can find this.
Aereo's been largely winning. There was one big loss they had in
Denver.
But they won this.
The Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in New York sided with Aereo, and it is that decision the judges are trying to overturn. So a tie would be in Aereo's favor. So Alito sitting back in, Thomas or Samuel, is bad for business. Good for the networks. Aereo. Our show today brought to you by the guys who brought us pizza yesterday. Hey, you bring us pizza, I'll do an ad for you. Actually, they could bring pizza to you, too. Grubhub. They deliver happy eating. Have you heard about Grubhub? If you're in the mood to order food from your favorite local restaurant or try something new and have it brought to you, not every restaurant delivers, but thanks to Grubhub, many do. They're in more than 600 cities, 28,000 restaurants, 1.6 million diners. So who can we get from here in Petaluma?
You can get from Flowering Tea House.
They're very good. Extreme Pizza is my favorite. Yeah. I didn't know we could get them. City Chopsticks, that's good.
Yep.
Romeo's is on there. I knew I could get from Romeo's because I've had their...
I got from City Chopsticks before. Now, they don't have delivery, but pickup was super easy because you pay through Grubhub and then you just show up and take your food and leave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So here's what you do. Go to Grubhub.com. And look and search by cuisine, by restaurant name, by menu item. When you find what you're looking for, you can place your order online. You can phone, but I think if you're using Grubhub, you're like me. You're the kind of person who'd rather do it online. I love ordering food online. That is awesome. You can even opt in to get order updates via text or on the site. So we know it's so cool. The text says, oh, the order's been placed with the restaurant. Your driver's picking it up. Your order's on the way. Your driver's knocking on your door. I mean, it's awesome. Grubhub gives you access to reviews, to coupons, to special deals, and they have a great 24/7 customer service team that will, if they need to, intervene to make sure you get exactly what you want. Now, we're going to get you $5 off your first order of $10 or more. First-time customers only. This offer will expire very quickly, so go to grubhub.com/MacBreak and use the offer code PODCAST. What is this podcast of which you speak? Grubhub.com/MacBreak. Use the offer code PODCAST, PODCAST. And do try it. If Grubhub's in your area, and it's in a lot of areas, 600 cities, you're going to be very happy. Very happy. Grubhub.com/MacBreak. Do it today, honey. Take the stew off the stove. We're growing Grubhub.
We're Grubhubbing it.
See, we should be doing their ads.
You're Grubhubbing it. You've been watching so much Mad Men, you're basically channeling Don Draper right now.
I did watch Mad Men this morning.
What we're selling is not delivery of dinner. No. What we're celebrating is family dinner without the things that make us split apart.
Satisfaction.
It's love.
We're selling love. I am channeling John Draper because he's my personal hero, even though he is about the worst human alive.
He's your 50s guru.
He's my 50s guru. Walt Mossberg, I asked Liz Gaines when she was on the other day, is Walt Rice writing less? She said no. Walt is not what you call, you know, a blogger in the sense that he files several stories a day. He does think pieces. He does personal technology reviews. He wrote today, published an article about Apple. Why Apple is like a movie studio. He says, you know, and this isn't a response, of course, to this kind of drumbeat that Apple better have a hit. Apple better had a hit. Has Apple lost its greatness? Is it, you know, over, you know, is it the haunted empire? Blah, blah, blah. He says the most useful way to think about Apple is to see it as a movie studio. Studios release blockbuster franchise movies every few years and then try to live off a series of sequels until the next big successful franchise. And then he's something about Spider-Man. And then he says, looked at in this way, your almost new iPhone 5S and iPad Air, they're mere sequels, iterations of Apple blockbusters that rocked the world when they first appeared. But you should not assume that because they are kind of, you know, like Spider-Man 2, that they are the end of the line for Apple. He says, sometimes, as with The Godfather Part 2, the sequel is considered to be better than the original. Sometimes, as in Godfather Part 3, it's not. Sequels can make more money, sometimes much, much more than the original. This has been true of Apple's follow-on iPods, iPhones, and iPads. But after a while, audience interest in sequel wanes. Competitors come up with alluring new things. Then you'd better have a whole new franchise because you cannot live forever on sequels. Jobs understood this well. By the way, Walt, we should mention, was fairly close to Steve at the end. It's one reason why he maintained a drumbeat of game changers over a dozen years from the iMac to the iPad that rocked his competitors and upended other industries as well. And that's why Apple's like a movie studio. Steve built it that way. And I guess given that Steve also ran a real movie studio, Pixar, that makes a lot of sense. Cook has done just enough. The way I want to point out that Walt calls Steve Jobs Mr. Jobs. He calls Tim Cook Cook. Okay, I'm just saying. Cook has done just enough to keep his sequels appealing. I still believe that when you combine hardware, software, and the ecosystem, the iPod, iPhone, I'm sorry, iPhone, iPad, and MacBook Air remain best in class. Cook has had some dangerous moments that did him no favors. The awful quality of the initial Maps service. The more recent self-rebooting bug on iOS 7. Yeah. High quality and reliability can't be taken lightly. So he goes on. He says, sequel time's almost up. It's time for a new franchise. He does not weigh in on whether Apple will have another blockbuster, but he says now is the time. It may be that, you know, the watch, the wearable, it may be mobile payments. It may be, he mentions, Apple TV. This one could be a real franchise. But if Apple settles for just something too much akin to its current TV product, it might just be a sequel. Sometime in the next 6 to 8 months, he concludes, I expect we'll see if Cook, that Cook fellow.
That guy won't go on walks with me.
Walt. they're both Mr. or they're neither. Anyway, we'll see if Cook is the kind of producer who grinds out too many sequels or the kind who brings forth an original Godfather or Spider-Man. Your thoughts?
It felt like a bit of a stretch. I mean, it was an entertaining read, but it's always Apple is not unique in the idea that when they have a successful product, they try to leverage people's like of that product and keeping improving it. The first version of anything kind of stinks, and so you don't really cancel something after one iteration unless it's, you know, the Apple Hi-Fi, something that people
That's really an important point, that it isn't at all like the movie studio, that movie sequels are almost always worse than the original because you're making taking an idea and stretching it.
Back.
Say again?
Yeah. Empire Strikes Back, Godfather Part 2.
Yeah. Part 2, okay. Empire Strikes Back really better than the original Star Wars?
Sons of Lamps. Sorry.
Okay. There are a few exceptions that are notable.
We're turning this into a nerd movie.
But they're notable because they're exceptions, right? Matrix 2, Rocky 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. Okay, but in technology, sequels are almost always better because, just as you say, you have a chance to refine, improve, learn from the customer. So I would throw this, Walt Mossberg, I know Tim Cook.
Well, I don't.
You all know Tim Cook.
I don't know that it merits a Craig Ferguson style tear up the blue sheet and throw it behind your back. But I mean, it's a good piece in that it's something that the people really, for stupid reasons, have to be reminded of, that the fact that Apple has not blown your mind in five years or four years
doesn't mean
that they're resting on their lawyers. Part of the success of producing something great is that you get to keep producing that great thing that everybody loves. And also, would you really love it if every 3 or 4 years Apple completely changed their desktop strategy so that everything you've learned, everything you've mastered over 3 or 4 years is now out the window, or even worse, that now there's nobody you can actually call for help because nobody has more than 2 or 3 years worth of expertise in any Apple product. So
it reminds me of that famous, you know, that Jed Bartlett speech. What are the next 10 words? Those first 10 words are easy. Apple needs a new hit product.
Right.
Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is right now, and I'll ask you to become the CEO of Apple. But making, you know, the iPhone is boring. Should they make it a triangle? Would a triangular iPhone be better for you? Less boring. It's one of those refrains that gets mashed up over and over again. And I think it's almost mind numbing at this point.
And I really don't think technology follows that same pattern. I really don't. What happens is a technology gets mature and then you can only make incremental improvements, because to do otherwise is to change something that is refined, mature, and nice. Yep. Windows 8 would be a good example of what not to do to a mature, solid product.
But again, like, what is that product? Is a watch does not have the addressable market of a phone. A television set does not have the margins of a phone. A payment system can make a lot of money for Apple, but it's not a sexy front-facing consumer product. It's more like an iTunes play. It's not an iPod play. So it's really hard. The iPhone was a confluence of so many different things that it's hard to see anything else being that big and that valuable for any company. I mean, I joked on Twitter over the week that should Apple have taken all their iPhone profits and bought Exxon? I mean, there's very few things that make that kind of money in this world.
I've been reading, as I've mentioned several times, Dogfight Fred Vogelstein's story of Google and Apple and the Google-Apple Wars. And it becomes very clear when you read that. And I think it's a fair, even-handed book, mm-hmm. by the way. It becomes very clear when you read that both the iPad and the iPhone occurred at a period of time that was the only period of time they could have occurred. People had tried to do both things, and the technology just wasn't there. Now, that does not in any way diminish Apple's single-minded persistence at making a great product. But it's more than the times have to be right. And I'm not is it obvious what the next product is? I don't think it's a watch, to be honest.
There'll be things like an iWatch could be like an Apple TV, where it increases the value of the overall ecosystem and makes the iPhone or the iPad more valuable. But there's no single, a watch, a car, none of those things are like an iPhone. The iPad isn't like an iPhone.
Right.
Yeah. We also have to acknowledge that one of the reasons why Apple could be so successful with the iPhone is that they were probably the only major tech company that had no investment and no development of phones at that point. So they were the only company that was truly free to create something brand new and start off with a blank slate. They were able to start off with what is the best phone we can design in 2007. BlackBerry, there are of course a lot of reasons why they failed, but one of them is that they were so successful at building phones that were designed to be great for 2001, 2002. And once you say, hi, we're BlackBerry, we're going to create something that's completely incompatible with everything else you've used before, using a completely new interface that you have never seen before. And so nothing you love about our existing products will be applicable to this new one. Wow, that would have flopped so big and so hard.
Boy, is that an excellent point, Andy. That's just
and so not only that, but also Apple, another advantage that Apple has is that they'll get lots of people on board quickly. They've earned so much currency with their users that if you drop a brand new device in my lap that I don't maybe completely get on first viewing, the fact that it's an Apple product will lead me to think that perhaps there's something about this that I'm not getting right now, but I will get in the future. I will stick with this. That's not the sort of thing you get from a Microsoft product or a Nokia product or anything like that. So there's so many big factors to that. And the innovation and the really great design of the first iPhone is just part of it.
Yeah. I do not envy Apple at this point. This is a very tough world they're in.
And a lot of the things
they're more like BlackBerry now than they were in 2007, right? They have these big hits.
I wouldn't say so. They've always been a company that after their recovery from the 1997 era, they're a company that they know what they want to do, they know where they're headed, and now they have enough of a safety cushion monetarily that they can essentially keep driving towards that target, even if people aren't going to be jumping on board with them immediately. They are willing to even dead tell their investors that if you don't like what we're doing with this company, if you think that we're not pursuing opportunities, sell your stock. We will buy it from you. As you can see, we are buying lots of our stock back because that's how much we like Apple stock right now. So BlackBerry's problem was that they really never had that ability to say, here is where we absolutely want to go in 5 years. Their only plan was we want to continue to sell phones and make lots and lots of money at that. That's not how Apple succeeded. Apple succeeded by saying that it is okay for us to do a brand new style of computer that does not run Mac OS because it can't. This new tablet computer will fail if it runs a desktop operating system. We're going to create a brand new product category. That's not something that a company that is fixated on just making the next successful product is going to be able to pull off.
Yeah, it's a bit unfair to say Tim Cook. You know, like Tim Cook is blamed for Maps, a project that started under Steve Jobs. He's also one of the reasons why the products that Steve Jobs was there for were manufactured so efficiently and were available at the price that they're available for. It's very difficult to unwind who did what in those relationships. So, you know, saying, you know, Tim Cook hasn't done anything or nothing's happened since Steve Jobs or problems have happened post Steve Jobs when lots of problems happened with Steve Jobs, I think all of that is a little bit disingenuous.
All right. Apple is going to put Shazam into iOS 8, so
woo-hoo.
That's good.
Yep. That's a big deal. I was just using Google Now's music search feature just the other week, and before the show started, I was talking about stuff that there are very few things that really makes me feel like, my God, I am living in the future. This is something where if a 1982 technology company wanted to do like a speculative, this is what the future is going to be like in the year 2000. And you'll be able to simply and the ability to be sitting in a restaurant, hearing a piece of music, about to ask the waiter, what is that song? And then realizing, wait a minute, I can just simply go Google Now, tap the microphone, hold it up. And there, not only is that the song, but here is a button on where to buy it. It's such a handy feature and such an important feature that, yeah, that's I wouldn't say it's important for them to have it, but it's surprising they haven't put it in yet.
I'm glad they're doing that. Now, this is rumor, right, Renee?
Yeah.
But are people seeing this code in their beta versions? Is that why?
No, there's no beta version yet. This is iOS 8 stuff. And this is stuff that Apple's rumored to. I think a lot of times the stuff you rumored now have been rumored for a couple of years.
Right.
People have wondered why Apple hasn't bought a Shazam like company because it is such a basic. It is such a basic feature that competing devices have. But you know, Apple typically goes through their list and it's that famous Greg Joswiak line of, yeah, we know cut and paste is really, really important and it's on the list. I just can't tell you how high up it is on the list.
Yep.
And this is sort of the same thing.
Do we know if Google does its own recognition in Google Now or if they license another company's?
I don't know.
I do not know.
I'm going to guess they do their own, but I don't know.
It doesn't seem like a really complicated thing.
You know, it reminds me of that TV show Silicon Valley. Have I mentioned that on HBO?
The one with the awesome taste in web tabs?
Yes. The company, Pied Piper, this guy's starting, the idea he came up with is that any recording artist can go to Pied Piper and play the song he's about to compose into it and see if anybody else has used that riff before. And they're all blown away because this guy can search this huge database of songs in such a quick period of time. Turns out he has this amazing compression algorithm, right? And and that's what turns out to be so valuable. But
yeah.
that I don't know how easy that is because you've got a lot of songs in the world. There's 20 million songs in the iTunes catalog, right?
Isn't that the Music DNA project that fingerprinted all the songs and they all use that to do the
Do they do a hash? Yeah. I guess they must do a hash. But even if it's 20, you have to compare the hash you just made with 20 million hashes. That's not that. That seems like a lot of work.
Compute intensive.
Yes.
If it weren't more clever than we're making it out to be, then that's what an entire data center would be doing nothing but pattern matching. It's interesting. It's above my my college math skills. Matrix calculus is like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I'll just ask somebody what the answer is to that one. But yeah, it's going to be great to say, Siri, what song is this?
Incidentally, just came in over the wire, over the transom, a 23-megabyte update to iOS 7, 7.1.1 is out. Further improvements to Touch ID fingerprint recognition, fixes a bug that could impact keyboard responsiveness, fixes an issue using Bluetooth keyboards with VoiceOver enabled. Boy, that seems like, I mean, they just released an update.
Yeah. And the security, I looked, the security update is not available yet, but there's probably released an OS X security update.
I think there's a little heartbleed in there somewhere. don't you think?
A little something, something.
A little something, something on the heartbleed side of things. I don't know. Anyway, while Apple doesn't say how urgent it is or anything, it is an update you probably want to get. And Apple, the nice thing about Apple users, they pretty much do these right away. At 23 megabytes, it's not going to break the budget, as they say. Speaking of court cases, a court rules that Rockstar has to fight Google, not in Texas, where all great patent lawsuits are filed, because East Texas is very favorable to the plaintiff.
The Rocket Docket.
Yeah. But in fact, in California, as Google wished, the Rockstar is a patent troll that is paid for by Intellectual Ventures, but also Apple, Microsoft, Sony, Ericsson, and BlackBerry. They bought the Nortel patents, $4.5 billion worth of Nortel patents, and formed this company, Rockstar, that spends a lot of time reverse engineering stuff to see if they can sue them. Rockstar sued Google and seven companies that make Android smartphones on Halloween. Google immediately countersued, saying, hey, can we do this in California? U.S. District Judge Claudia Wilkin agreed with Google, using, this is quoting Ars Technica, using sharp language that suggests Rockstar won't have an easy time litigating this case. The first thing she did was dispense with the idea that Rockstar's co-plaintiff, Texas-based Mobilestar, should be treated as something separate and distinct from Rockstar. Quote, the circumstances here strongly suggest that Rockstar formed Mobilestar as a sham entity for the sole purpose of avoiding jurisdiction in all other fora except Mobilestar's state of incorporation, Delaware, and claimed principal place of business, Texas. A mere day, this is a little sharp-tongued, a mere day before it initiated litigation against Google's customers, Rockstar freshly minted Mobilestar with no California contacts and assigned the asserted patents to that subsidiary. This happens all the time, by the way. This is the shenanigans that goes on. In fact, if you've ever listened to the This American Life about the podcast, in patent troll. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the word podcast snuck in there. The patent trolls in East Texas, they've got all these dummy offices down there so that they can sue in East Texas. So the venue moved to California. That's a victory for Google. And I think that based on this judge's ruling.
You got to figure that when you're the lawyer and the judge is referring to your actions as a sham corporation, not going to go well.
She also pointed out that the majority stakeholder in Rockstar is Apple, which put $2.6 billion into the $4.5 billion purchase of Nortel's patents, and owns, she says, at least 1,147 of the 2,000 patents. She said, hey, you know, you're owned by a California corporation. I think you should do it in California. Okay.
This is not a judge asking if HBO is a broadcast channel. This is what we're getting at here.
She also apparently read the Isaacson biography of Steve Jobs. Another quote from the ruling: Google and Apple's rivalry in the smartphone industry is well documented. Apple's founder stated that he viewed Android as a quote ripoff end quote of iPhone features and intended to quote destroy Android by launching quote a thermonuclear war. Straight out of Isaacson. Defendant's litigation strategy of suing Google customers is consistent with Apple's particular business interests. This, quote, scare the customer and run tactic advances Apple's interest in interfering with Google's Android business. Wow. Finally, a judge that kind of sees through this whole thing.
Yeah.
Rockstar senior management is based in Ontario, Canada.
My fault. My bad. Sorry.
That's where Nortel was.
Yes.
It also has a small office in Plano, Texas. Course, in the East District of Texas.
Well, it gets cold in Toronto, Leo.
Who wants to be there when you could be in Plano? Well, that's interesting. You know, the same thing's happening in the podcast lawsuits. I think one of the big networks which is being sued by the podcast troll is trying to do preemptively, or maybe that was a preemptive lawsuit, trying to change the venue to either New York or Boston, where they feel they get a fairer hearing than East Texas. So that's interesting. This is not an unusual... Don't get me started.
So many of the headaches.
Apple, of course, the rumors are strong that Apple will sometime, perhaps sooner than later, release two new iPhones, a 4.7-inch and what, a 5-inch?
You didn't hear, Leo? The unannounced 5.5-inch iPhone is now delayed.
How can you delay something you never announced?
As of this morning, they've had production problems with the unannounced iPhone, and it's going to be delayed now.
Oh, well, never mind.
Well, to continue Renee's brilliant West Wing analogies, this is like the one where Josh Lyman, like stumbling through a press conference, hinted at a super top secret budget solution proposal, and the president to say not only did you announce that I have a super top secret solution to the economy, but you also do not agree with this plan.
Yeah.
So yes.
Top secret plan.
Exclusive fabrication on the 5.751-inch iPhone. They're having a problem with yields on the display. I mean, it was much like a column that I wrote in 2012 about how I don't think that Apple is going to have the savvy know-how to... Good heavens.
It's amazing. Every year, Apple is rumored to be making a new device. That newer device is then rumored to be delayed, and then Apple releases it at the same time they release the rumored device from last year.
So will Apple do a 4.7? That seems credible.
Yes.
4.7 is, I've said this before, it is just the right size. Current iPhones are 4 inches. A little smaller, not a lot. You can still hold 4.7 in your hand, still do the thing that Apple wants to do, which is navigate with your finger with holding it in one hand. I like 4.7. And as you pointed out, Renee, that wouldn't require a new scale, right?
They could. Anything up till 5. I mean, if they go to exactly 5, it'll be the same pixel per inch as the iPad Air, right, which means they can keep making the same panels. 4.7, though, I do think is better. I mean, I have a couple of 5-inch phones behind me, and they just feel a little bit too big. I think 4.7 is a nice medium.
I just ordered, because just for completeness, understand, not I just ordered the 6-inch Nokia 1520.
It's a beautiful phone. It's as big as my head, but it's beautiful.
It is a lovely phone, and for people who are doing lots of reading during their commutes, hopefully on the subway, not in their cars, it is a nice, happy medium between having a full-size pad and a small-size one. But, I mean, at some point, like, Leo, you should like, get, like, you know how, like, in machine shops, they've got, like, the socket wrench set that has, like, every single size socket
yes.
wrench from...
That, oh,
you
I could
really
do
that with phones at this point.
Now. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you guys see the Samsung graphic? Someone put a graphic up on Twitter of all the Samsung displays, and there was this missing inch. Between, I think, 7 and 8, there's an entire inch without a Samsung display size in between it.
How could that be?
It's impossible.
Somebody must be fired. They missed one inch.
Get fired.
That's pretty funny. They've got everything but one.
At quarter-inch intervals, everything all
at
the way.
At quarter-inch?
At 4 yeah. inches all the way up to 12 inches, I think, now.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's clearly a concerted effort, right? That doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah, no.
That's carpet bombing.
Samsung's idea is that anybody who wants to buy a phone that has money in their hand, their goal is to take money out of that hand and put the phone they want in that hand, which is a perfectly valid way to go about your business. And it's also, you know, it's a brute force method of marketing, but it's been working very well for them so far. And
the I
would be addressing that rumor, though. I'd be really shocked if Apple didn't do a larger screen iPhone. But I'd be just as shocked if they didn't also have the standard size iPhone 5 sized screen there, too, because it's a great form factor. People like it. Accessories work great with it. And it's also the people who just don't want a larger phone. There's reasons why you can buy smaller screened Android devices. That's because a lot of people like the smaller phones. A lot of people who don't have these, you know, big, greasy workman mitts like I have.
Philip Elmer DeWitt writing in Fortune this week. Analysts estimate that iPad sales were down the average of 19.3 million. That's the average of analysts' guesses. okay, so Apple hasn't said, and it ranges from Horace Dedayu of Asimco, who says 21.8 million iPads sold, all the way down to a guy from the Braeburn Group who says 15 million. But if you put the average at 19.3, DeWitt says this means iPad sales are slowing down. But as I mentioned when we talked about this on iPad Today yesterday, if you look at the graph, yeah, they're slowing down from the peak when the new iPad came out. But last two quarters of iPad sales still beat every other quarter but two since the iPad was released. So I would take that slowdown.
Yeah.
Right?
Not a bad business. But the Wall Street is insane, Leo. Wall Street's based on future expectations, not current earnings.
I understand. We don't pay attention to it.
But. Yeah, I mean, if sports were reported the same way that like businesses reported, we'd be saying that Meb Keflezighi actually came in fifth in the Boston Marathon based on what sports analysts predicted the finishing time would be.
We thought he would finish at so much better time. So even though he won,
very
he really
disappointing
didn't.
That he only managed to cross the finish line first.
You're right. That's a perfect analogy.
He can do it faster next year, so we're going to downrank him right now. Yes. We're going to build in depreciation for next year.
We've always known this, but Wall Street Journal confirms what many have thought, that Apple and Google vie to offer game manufacturers exclusivities or to buy exclusivity on their platforms. We know Plants vs. Zombies came out on the App Store on Apple 3 or 4 months before it came out on Android. And apparently, basically, Google and Apple both offer companies promotional boost, premium placement on the home pages and featured lists. I do know from our own experience with the shows that getting featured on iTunes is huge. Mm-hmm. And that's for podcasts. It's got to be even worse for apps where there are millions of possibilities and nobody would even know your game existed unless you got featured.
Look at Beyonce, Leo. She blanketed the iTunes music store for
brilliant.
Was it 2 weeks?
A month? Such a brilliant move. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that she talks to Apple and Apple talks. That's different with iTunes because iTunes Music is the king. But I would say the Android App Store versus the iTunes Apple App Store, they're kind of neck and neck at this point.
Not in revenue, downloads and numbers, yeah, but not in revenue still.
Although they're catching up. Android has, of course, been much behind, but they are catching up.
But that's an acceleration curve. If you're behind it, you're growing, your acceleration is inevitably faster.
Right. They refer to Zepto Labs' sequel to Cut the Rope, which was introduced in December. Zepto Labs and Apple agreed to a 3-month window of exclusivity in exchange for the store prominently promoting the game, according to a person familiar with the matter. And then in Android, late March, there you go. Interesting, though, for a long time, companies were very loath to make an Android version at all. They really wanted to keep on Apple's good side. And there was always this kind of notion that Apple may only feature you if you're in fact, they even have a section, iOS exclusives. And you want to get in that section. I do note that in every one of these cases, while Apple had an exclusive for a month or two or three, these companies did not forego Android. They came out on Android eventually.
Last night, I got to watch Son of the Batman on iTunes, and I tweeted about it, and people were like, it's not available on Google Play yet, but it's part of Apple's, right. 1 week early release program. And we've seen that. I mean, the Star Trek Into Darkness went to Target and Walmart and all these different mm-hmm. stores with different, special features because everyone is so keen to get whatever advantage they can, and the distribution is so tight. Like, there aren't that many app stores. I think Amazon is doing something similar with their app store, but those are your only points of getting onto users, so everyone's going to try to manipulate those. It's good for the artist because if they can get a great deal from Amazon or Apple, they get more promotion. It's good for Apple or Amazon or Google because it makes them, at least for a short period of time, look more attractive. I think it's just how business has always worked that way.
None of the companies involved would comment, of course. 70, according to App Annie, I don't know who she is when she's at home, but I guess that's some company that does this.
It's a metrics company. No,
they track sales of mobile apps.
According to App Annie, 70% of the revenue on mobile apps is in video games. 70%. This is the category,
It really does feel like it's almost meaningless for any platform to boast about the size of their app library or how much money it's generating because it is just so lopsided into games. And then not only that, but so lopsided towards in-app purchases that it's hard to make the case. If you're trying to get developers to support your team as opposed to somebody else's based on the amount of revenue, it's like, okay, if you're making a game in which people have to pay an extra $3 to put more popcorn into the movie theater machine, then yes, definitely you should get this platform over another. If not, you're better off just trying to build your own audience and trying to make your $100 a day however you can.
It's interesting, too. I mean, will Apple eventually need exclusives? The console business for years had Mario and Sonic and Halo, and those really helped build up stickiness for the platforms. Google and Amazon and other companies have bought a lot of previous iOS apps, like Snapseed, fantastic. All of the Nick stuff went to Google. Apple so far hasn't been buying They bought Siri and a few others, Chomp, but they haven't been wholesale buying very popular apps, and they've been losing them to companies that are willing to buy them. So I wonder if we'll actually see first-party exclusives at some point if this curve continues.
Boy, that really does underscore the power of that, though, because when you say Mario, I know immediately Nintendo. When you say Sonic, I know immediately Sega. When you say Halo, I know immediately Microsoft Xbox. I mean, they are so tightly tied to those platforms. But I have to point out, when the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 came out last year, the exclusives were very limited, and I think they continue to be. I don't think
I really think the promotion is more important than exclusivity. If you can, that's the one carrot that both these stores can hang in front of you, because we all know how hard it is to, even if you have an intention of finding a specific app for iOS, how hard it is to find that one app. I mean, even when Microsoft came out with Microsoft Office, man, I did so many keyword searches looking for that app because I wanted to get the legitimate version of it, the actual official version of it. And really, I had to go to Microsoft.com and find their launching page for it in order to find it.
I did too.
To say nothing of if you have a game that is going to have any measure of success whatsoever, in the next weekend after your number one, there's going to be 100 clones that have every single keyword that someone's going to search for. So if you want to get some, if you want to offer a developer something of value, it really is going to be, we will give you one of those spotlight slots inside our carousel so that people will see you whether they're looking for you or not.
App Annie also reports.
Susie.
How come I have never heard her name before? Is this suddenly she's like everywhere?
Quoted in these things.
Okay. The app will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom download that tomorrow there'll be games.
App Annie says that the Google Play Store saw 45% more downloads than the App Store on iOS in the first quarter. 45% more downloads. Worldwide revenue, though, as you mentioned, Apple is comfortably ahead, according to Annie. This is global, 150 countries. Downloads are up, revenue up, but not as much. In fact, the graphs is kind of interesting. You know, you really could see the difference. Is that because most of these Android apps are free, or people are cheap on Android? I mean, if you've got more downloads, seems to me the revenue should catch up.
I think it partly has to do with the fact that if you have an iPhone, you only have a super premium $200 with contract phone. Or even if you have a cheap one, it was once a $200 super premium with contract phone. Android covers, just as we talked about, covers every single spot on that board. And so you have a lot of people who have no intention of putting any more money into this phone that they paid $49 for. And even then, they're upset they didn't get it for free. And that's just in the U.S. Worldwide, where the different disparities between pricing of phones is so much more wild than it is here in the U.S. You have people who just did not buy this phone with the intention of spending more money on apps. They're not as app obsessed as we are in the U.S., I think.
You must know my friend App Annie, because that's exactly what App Annie said. She said, Android app download volume is growing thanks to explosive growth in emerging markets. Mm-hmm. In Mexico, smartphone adoption grew 75% last year. So that makes sense that you might have more downloads, but you may not have more revenue. Downloads were also strong in Brazil and Russia, now both in the top three.
That's why a lot of these observations based on, well, here's a percentage of users who are actually using the web with our devices versus competitors' devices. Here are the number of phones that are out in there. Here's how much revenue each one is being used for. It's almost becoming meaningless as Android starts to saturate every single device with a screen and some sort of a CPU on top of it, because you just don't know why people are buying those things. I've never really understood that metric of how much web use is being done on iOS devices versus Android devices, particularly iPad versus Android tablets. I would like to see that broken down by category to see how well that stands up. I don't doubt that there is some merit to that comparison, given that iPads are just so much more useful than almost every other Android tablet I've ever used. But it's hard. It really is like a Rorschach test at this point. You can make any point you want to make about any figure you want to dig up about any segment of the mobile device market at this point.
Yeah, and to Andy's point, it's an immature set of analysis, and they're not segmenting the smartphone market the way they do like the auto market. Apple has 0% of the under $400 phones.
Right.
Apple has 0% of the cheap tablets that people buy in Asia to watch videos on. And if you you broke down those numbers, it'd be much more informative for everybody trying to do their job. But it's either not in the best interest of the metric companies, or they haven't developed to the point where they can offer those kind of statistics yet.
What would you suggest as categories? Price?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same thing as cars. Like, you don't compare the cherry car sold in China to the BMW. It's ridiculous, but that's what happens in the phone market.
Right.
So, yeah, based the premium market, the discount market, you know, and you can start doing verticals for them as well. Like, people who buy devices with specific purposes, like an Android-powered video player, probably shouldn't be counted in the same category as either a Samsung or an Apple tablet, because it's not the same device. It just happens. Things that happen to run Android, you know, to quote Benedict Evans, that's the barely debugged stack of drivers of this decade.
Yeah.
It just powers so many things.
It does, including cars. And so the iOS App Store, top countries by downloads, US, China, Japan, the UK, and Russia. Top countries by revenue, pretty much the same. US, Japan, China, United Kingdom, and Australia. So that's where the money comes from. That's who downloads. Very different from the picture on Android, where top countries by download, United States, Brazil, Russia, South Korea, and India. Top countries by revenue, Japan, United States, South Korea, Germany, United Kingdom. It's almost a different list.
What's interesting is today Apple also enabled Brazil-specific ratings for the App Store for games, and that was a huge point of contention. I think for a long time it kept games out of Brazil because they wouldn't support their rating system, which, you know, skews also, because that skews downloads, it skews piracy levels, because if you can't get games, that greatly changes the equation.
You mean like the reviews ratings or the mature ratings?
Yeah,
So there's a Brazilian system for game ratings that's different.
Yeah.
Is it more sexy or less sexy?
I don't know the specifics, but I know it caused a lot of distribution problems for a lot of people.
I understand the bottom of the market is a lot fuller.
Our show today. Our show today brought to you by 99designs.com. My friends, 99designs is the world's largest graphic design marketplace. They are just fantastic. Over, what is the last count of 296,000 designers are waiting for you to go there. There are 2,000 open contests, $2 million in payments last month alone from 99designs. What we do is we invite you to go to 99designs.com, whether you're a brand, a business, a restaurant, get your menu design, get your T-shirts, everything from car wraps to landing pages, mobile apps. We got an email from Pastor Chadwick, East Point Church in Ohio, who heard about 99 Designs on the show. He decided it was time for a makeover of their logo, the church's logo. Within days, they had over 100 logo options to look through. Took them about a month to go through all the options, choose the winning design. The designer got paid. East Point Church received a fantastic new logo they loved, one that respected their heritage but was fresh and modern. I think that's just so cool. And Pastor Chadwick, he can't say enough about how great the 99 Designs project and process is. Thanks to MacBreak Weekly and 99 Designs for helping our church move into the 21st century with a great-looking design. It's a great way to get high-quality graphic design at an affordable price. Thank you, Pastor Chadwick. That is really, really neat. We talk about branding a lot, you know. It's a term that gets thrown around all the time. What is branding? It's the gut feeling people have about your company. It's what, you know, what comes to mind when they say TWIT. Branding leverages the fundamental, you know, truths about your company to create emotional connections with your audience. And design is absolutely critical in communicating that, because most of the times it's a nonverbal thing. You say so much with your design, not just, hey, here's how we look, here's what our logo is, but, you know, what are we saying about our brand, about our company, about our business, about who we are? And it gets communicated in a nonverbal and very, very powerful way by design. That's why Pastor Chadwick was so happy. He wanted to kind of say we're traditional. We've got a heritage, but we're also modern. It's just so cool. So here's the deal. Go to 99designs.com, 99designs.com/MBW. You'll get a $99 power pack of services for free. It gives you more designer time and attention. They will bold and highlight and feature your design in the 99, your design project, your contest, in the 99 Designs marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs as a result. $99 worth of services for free at 99designs.com/MBW. We thank them for their support of Mac Break Weekly. I need you to explain this Engadget story to me. This is, okay, so Siri, right? You talk to Siri. She sends your speech to Apple servers, probably in North Carolina, where they're interpreted, and they come back to you. So somehow a quartet of freshmen at the University of Pennsylvania, at a hackathon, in fact, invented something called Google, spelled like the number G-O-O-G-O-L, Plex, offending everybody, Google and Apple in the process, from Alex Sands, A.J. Patel, Ben Hsu, and Gagan Gupta. This intercepts, you have to change your Wi-Fi connection's proxy settings. It intercepts your Siri requests, and it gives Siri more capabilities. You can play tunes in Spotify, turn up the heat on your Nest thermostat, even start your Tesla. I got to say, I have to think that Apple's going to shut this sucker down. Is this something you get on the App Store? Did Apple even approve this in the App Store? No, you just change your settings, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, there have been jailbreak stuff that
happened. Is this a jailbreak?
No, but there has been jailbreak versions of Apple doesn't expose APIs for Siri.
Right.
All of that stuff is internal, and Apple does partnership deals. But if you break into that either by jailbreak or you do, I think this is probably, I mean, Steve Gibson can explain it better than me. This is probably a man in the middle.
Basically, you're allowing a man in the middle attack.
Yeah, and then they're just exploiting things. Like, Apple has to do this stuff slowly, because if you just start exposing APIs, there's all this chance for collision. Like, change my calendar. Well, is Fantastical going to change it? Is Calendar going to change it?
Right.
Is Awesome Calendar going to change it? But if you're just having fun, you can just open the floodgates.
And it turns out Googleplex has its own API, so you can actually modify Googleplex to work with other stuff. You can tell it what to do if it hears certain things. This seems so illegal somehow. I don't know. And Gadget says, hey, it's an easy thing to change these settings. I've never tried it, but it's an easy thing to change these proxy settings, and you can do it. The website is betterthansiri.com. Oh, God, they're asking for trouble.
If you have no repercussion worries, you can do anything.
I guess
you
when you're a college kid, No jailbreaking, no download. It takes 30 seconds. So you go to, should I try this?
Do you want all your Siri queries intercepted?
Right. Well, that's part of it, is this is going to go through somebody, right?
Yep.
So, okay. So I'm going to settings, Wi-Fi. Click the I on the Wi-Fi setting you want. You scroll down. And HTTP proxy is auto. Okay, that's normal, but now I can put in a URL. There wasn't a URL there before. So the URL is HTTP. I'm really going to regret this, aren't I? ://
Can you move your iPad down just a bit?
Oh, you can't see it. Thanks. Okay. Totally better than Siri.
And he's going to be turning down the lights in the studio soon.
.com. Okay, and that's it. It's not that hard. And then now any request I make will be rerouted through Totally Better Than Siri. But actually, I got to point out, not just your Siri requests. Nope. Everything you now do on the internet goes, I can't recommend this.
No.
But it's interesting that people are showing off what Siri could do with just by people who don't even work for Apple. So. We'll get there.
You can tell it to play a song on Spotify. You can tell it to turn on your lights on Hue. You can make it warmer. You can literally say, oh, but you have to say Googleplex. Well, now that's weird. Let me try this. So now I press and hold. Googleplex, turn on my lights.
Searching Google for Plex, turn on my lights.
Yeah, see, this didn't work at all. Am I supposed to say Googleplex? All right. First time you use Googleplex, you must select continue when prompted and create an account. Okay, so I have to create an account first. All right. Wow. First time you must.
I believe it's totally dot better than Siri dot.
Did I do the wrong? Oh, I left out a dot. So I don't know who I'm sending my traffic to.
Oh, Leo's traffic.
Look, we got all. So I can bet you there are some people who are doing that. Right. I'd put dot between totally and better. There probably is already some Russian hacker who's getting my traffic.
Pay for more donuts now.
Totally dot. Thank you, Chad. You young people are good at this stuff. Totally dot better than Siri.com, right? Is it HTTPS? Yeah. No. Now let's try it.
That would be too secure.
Googleplex, play Demons.
Searching Google for Plex, play Demons.
This is not what's... Cannot verify... Here we go. Cannot verify server identity. Because it can't see Google.com. Because I'm now going through better than Siri. So I have to press continue, and I have to sign up.
Please run this Java app.
It seems so wrong.
Please enter iTunes password now.
We find that credit card numbers make wonderful secure passwords. Okay. Social security numbers also. Launch codes for nuclear whistles also with password.
Oh, the whistles.
Whistles. We love whistles. Okay.
Nuclear whistles.
Username. Password should be like something really bad.
Right? Audience, Leo does this so that you don't have to.
I'm going to really regret this.
You know, you probably could have launched Spotify and played that song a lot sooner than this. That's.
I hope Steve Gibson isn't watching.
Wait a minute. Can password confirm? Oh, I did the wrong thing.
And Chad, do you have like a bucket of benzene that you can have Leo dunk his iPad into after he's done with this, just to be sure?
I'm just worried you're going to forget and then like, okay, let me open up the Bank of America app.
All right. My account was made. Now log in. Okay. Don't show this again. I got to.
Your fake password.
You're giving them your password, Leo.
Oh, man. God.
This is such a bad idea. I'm all set. I can now use Googleplex. Okay, now, what was it I supposed to do? I forgot.
Say play music or something.
See, I don't have Spotify on here. That's the part of the problem. Googleplex, turn on my lights.
Searching Google for Plex, turn on my lights.
Wait a minute. Oh, did you see that? Okay, so that's weird. So it pulled up a web search, and then Googleplex noted that the web search was for Googleplex turn on my lights. Mm-hmm. I see. And so it intercepted the Google search, noted the search term, which it will do every time you search on the internet, looked for the words Googleplex and said, this one's for me, and then tried to parse it. And of course, since I don't have Hue on here, I have to add that to my account or something like that. Okay, this is a very bad idea.
Yeah. Change your settings now, please.
Oh, I'm glad you reminded me. Delete that totally better than Siri.com should be all I have to do, right? I'm still going to... It doesn't change the proxy settings, still auto. I could just turn it off. I don't use a proxy.
I would just nuke it at this point.
Yeah, turn it off. Okay.
Just reinstall iOS.
Drop it into the bucket. Set the bucket on fire. You might want to take it outside first, but... Nuke it for more, but it's the only way to be sure.
I think it's an exercise. I'm sure these guys are completely benign. I'm sure as an exercise, this is very interesting and good. And I hope they get an A in the project. Actually, they came in second.
When you open up a hole, it's hard to tell if anyone else is going in that hole. That's my only problem.
It's so dangerous. Project. I'm sorry. They didn't even take second. They took third prize. I'd sure like to see first and second place if that was third prize, because that's a pretty nice hack. That's a sweet hack. By the way, Jeff Needles was watching as well. He's the one who told us. Thank you, Jeff. Project Tango is a Google smartphone technology that uses Apple's PrimeSense technology. It's an experimental smartphone from Google that incorporates 3D sensors that allow users to map indoor and outdoor environments. But if you look carefully at the chip here... It's a PrimeSense Capri PS1200 3D imaging system on a chip that Apple owns because it acquired the company that made it last year.
Could you imagine if there was a Samsung chip in an Apple device?
Oh, wow. Oh, wait a minute. There is. So PrimeSense did Kinect. So this is kind of the vision capabilities of Kinect. But I presume Apple's, you know, licensing it right to other people.
Well, they have existing contracts.
They're still making it.
To assume when the company.
Huh. Cool. Microsoft doesn't use PrimeSense anymore in its Kinect interface because they don't, because Apple owns it. do you believe the stories that we hear that Yahoo's never said this. There's no evidence of this. It's pure speculation on the part of Kara Swisher and Recode that Yahoo may be planning to dump Google and default to Yahoo mobile search.
They would need a Yahoo mobile search first, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
This seems like...
I mean, I'm sure Yahoo would love to be the default search.
Apparently, according to her sources, there are two internal projects at Yahoo aimed at building a viable mobile search engine and a monetization program. And, of course, they want to convince Apple to use it.
To fund it.
Apple's got to fund it.
No, I'm just saying, that's how it ended up here.
Yeah, if you don't have any customers, you don't have any funding. First of all, you've got Google, which is everybody wants it. Something that Yahoo makes up. Yahoo doesn't even do their own search. Bing does. Doesn't seem credible.
Yeah. Well, if they're wording it in terms of she wants to try to get Apple to use Yahoo services, oh, hell yeah. But yeah, well, that's a credible idea that there's movement in place unless it involves Apple making a massive investment in Yahoo search technology. Right. I mean, they really are like they're like the Indian space program at this point. They have potential to do stuff if they were to create an industry to be at the level of what other people are doing right now, but they don't have it right now.
Danny Sullivan poo-poos the whole thing. He says, first of all, Yahoo has no search technology. That's kind of a problem, but I guess, you know, you could get somebody to write something, get some college
right now,
kid.
Google pays Apple, I think, in 2012, it was $1 billion.
That's the other problem. There's a lot of money changing hands. So it wouldn't be Apple giving Yahoo money. It'd be vice versa. Yeah. Apple
and also these are all rational companies. Apple, for all the famous, you know, going thermonuclear against Google stuff, they're not going to cut off access to a service that is both financially very good to them and also very good to their users.
That's what Eric Schmidt said. He said the media treats this like high school. Like, I hate you and Google hates Apple and then there's nothing. He says, it's not. We're grown-ups. This is business. And even if we're suing a company, we still do business with them.
Yeah.
Even if Samsung and Apple are bitterly fighting over patents, Apple still uses Samsung chips because we're grown-ups. This isn't high school.
If we say dumb things in front of cameras, we're still grown-ups.
Yeah, maybe then. Apple building new data centers to shrink their carbon footprint, as is everybody. Although I have to say, Apple seems to really be gaining some traction on its campaign to promote the fact that it's environmentally sensitive. Greenpeace has given it high marks, right? In fact, didn't even Greenpeace even use Apple as an example?
Did you see the Tim Cook narrated video they put up yesterday, Leo?
Yeah.
Apple.com/environment. It's interesting using Tim Cook, too, because it really plays into that Tim Cook as moral or ethical center of Apple.
I think he is, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I think that's his differentiation from Steve Jobs.
Steve never wanted to give any money to charity, for instance. Mm-hmm. And Cook immediately, that's one of the things he changed right away.
Steve was Think Different, and Tim really seems to be We Believe.
And a powerful ideal.
She said better right before I unmuted.
It makes us look at the world and want more than anything to change it for the better. To innovate. Improve. To reinvent. To make it better.
I love that Auburn accent. It's that soft DNA. Auburn accent. Such a good accent.
And better can't be better if it doesn't consider everything. Our products. Our values, and an even stronger commitment to the environment for the future, to use greener materials, less packaging, to do everything we can to keep our products out of landfills, changes that will benefit people as well as
I think.
To us, better is a force of nature.
The most unrecyclable
it
products
tries us to build things
in the industry.
We never imagined.
Well, they're all recyclable. They're recyclable, and certainly in the sense you can take it back to an Apple store, and they'll, if it's a working thing, they'll give you a gift card for something, and if it's a not working thing, they'll dispose of it properly, and they'll, you know, that they're.
But
they
only Apple knows how to do that because it's all
recyclable, not repairable.
Right, and also they. I really like this ad campaign. I particularly like the access they gave to Steve Levy about how they're trying to make as many of their data centers and even the stores as possible work completely on renewable energy, because it really does remind me of the fact that Apple is a unique company. I can't think of another company that if they produced a spot like this, I think that 40% of your brain would be skeptical about, okay, well, they're trying to reposition themselves as this, and they're trying to attract that, and they're trying to get people's attention off of the fact that they killed that whale on a corporate retreat 3 months ago. I mean, other companies like Samsung would, if they wanted to pivot towards environmentalism, they'd make a phone out of hemp and then stop making it in a year. Apple is when you see stuff like this, you really do know that Apple does believe in this sort of stuff, and it's an expression of the fact that they are running one company with one focus and one heart, one mind, and one set of hands, as opposed to you got this one kind of wacko guy who's kind of interested in this, and they let him run wild as a distraction. It really is a very positive thing, and it's an ad that I really really like. So the other cool thing about they gave Steve Levy their new vice president in charge of greenery, for lack of a better word, took Levy on a tour of their data centers and their power sources. But for me, the most interesting part of that was when she came on board as the new VP, asking around about, well, what are we doing that could be improved? A couple of employees said, you know how we keep saying that we're doing a good job, we make so many things out of aluminum, but we're only getting them from very, very good sources and we're not damaging the planet. Yeah, I don't like the way we're calculating those numbers. I think we're doing not as good a job as we're telling people. And she did an audit and turned out that, yep, there was no deceit, but they were using a method of calculating a certain number that was not good. And so that's one of the reasons why they fell off of one of their promises last year, not because that they didn't do the job that they were promising to do for the environment, but because they had to adjust the numbers that they were shooting for with this new realistic budgeting system. So it's a great thing, because one of the things that makes Apple unique is that to an extent you buy into not just this actual product that you're buying or this actual service that you're using. You're buying into a company that you believe has a set of values that intersects with values that you have, or at least that values that you approve of. So I'm glad that they're talking a little bit more about how it's not just about, again, engineers in the middle of in front of a white background talking about fault tolerances and about how every part has to interact particularly with every other part. But they're saying, no, here's things we're actually doing beyond trying to make you buy a new phone that we could easily get away with, but we're not going to try to get away with it because we actually do think this stuff is important.
I was talking about how much I liked. What are you laughing at?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just complete the headline because I'm just.
So I bought, and I'm really just happy with it. This little big disc. It's tiny. It's cute. Yeah. It's a very fast Thunderbolt 2 SSD external drive. LaCie is being acquired by Seagate. And oh, by the way, they have been their credit cards. They've been breached for a year.
I'm just laughing because I'm really about only two more of these announcements away from saying I'm no longer going to use anything to get anything except for just bartering. I'm going to have goats and sheep, and if you want squirrels. Me to buy one of your phones, your cars, tell me how many sheep or goats you want. We'll make that exchange, because it's just not possible to have any sort of modern electronic institution for money changing that's not going to be completely hacked out.
The French hardware company confirmed last week that malware successfully made its way through to access sensitive customer information from transactions on its website. Virtually, according to LaCie, virtually everyone who shopped on LaCie's website in the last year is at risk. Yeah, it's a Cold Fusion flaw, Adobe's Cold Fusion software. Cold Fusion, by the way, used by a lot of sites for their e-commerce. And this is probably one of a great many sites, some of which you don't even know. No. Customer names, addresses, email addresses, credit card numbers, card expiration dates, usernames, and passwords. They got it all.
Been storing for a length of time anyway.
Well, and none of it is hashed, apparently, or in any way obfuscated, which is very bad practice. Even if you have a bug, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. That's why I hope that Google and Apple do expand their reach of the iTunes wallet and the Google wallet, because at this point, I think those are the only two transactors that I've never ever been burned on even once. And if there were one store where I could buy something using my iTunes account or Google wallet, another store offering the same thing that I couldn't use that for, I would almost certainly opt for the one that uses iTunes or Google wallet, even if it costs a little bit more and I had to wait 2 days to get it.
Steve Gibson is coming up on Security Now. He has tweeted that the iOS update is nothing major, just fixes bugs. I guess he's looked into the security. I don't know, Steve, if you can be sure of that, because Apple does not reveal the security.
They have
impact.
A link, but you click on it, and almost always nothing. It takes 2 days before there's an update on it.
Yeah. He does say, however, that, and I didn't know this, and I'm going to do it right now, there is an OS X. Mm-hmm. update that just came out that he says you should absolutely install ASAP. I don't see it here. Oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. Security update 2014-002 1.0. Safari includes Safari 703. It may be these are new Safari certificates. One of the ways certificate revocation under Heartbleed is the only way really it's being effectively handled is by updating certificates. The certificate authorities and so forth. So that may be one of the things. This is, requires a download and a restart. It's about 80 megabytes. So I'm doing it right now. And I'll ask Steve about Google Plex.
Don't tell him you did it.
That's where I'm getting my update, as a matter of fact. What is this? How to Leak the iPhone 6, a beginner's guide from phonecruncher.com.
This is a tutorial on if you are going to leak the iPhone.
Yeah. It's the picture must be blurry. We've seen enough leaked images of smartphones and indeed the iPhone 5 and iPhone 6 to know that a proper leaked image has to be blurry. Have you ever seen a perfectly in focus HD gallery of leaked pictures? No. If you're going to leak your own picture, start with the basic stance. Obviously, you'll most likely be standing still when taking pictures, so we suggest swaying to the side slightly just as you take the snap to add some motion blur. Ideally, you want to ensure the actual product you're photographing is barely recognizable, only partly in view.
Gizmodo did a pretty good job with the iPhone 4.
Include blueprints. If there's one key element to any legit-looking leaked pictures, it's blueprints. Note, whether the plans are actually of the product you're photographing is irrelevant. Nobody really knows what the blueprints say. A factory setting is ideal. Recent leaked images of the iPhone 6 have clearly been taken in a production line warehouse. Yeah, so if you're planning on leaking your own iPhone 6 images, we suggest you do the same.
Post them on Sino Weibo.
Yeah.
If your leaked image offers a very slight glimpse of some workers in overalls, that certainly adds to the impact. An obnoxious watermark must be visible. Here's one from nowhereelse.fr.
Yeah, there are some sites that take the Sino Weibo watermarked one, and then whatever Chinese site republished it and watermarked, and then add a third layer of watermarks on top of it, just so you can't see anything underneath it.
Putting a watermark over your image is the cherry on the cake when it comes to leaked gadget pictures. The ultimate iPhone 6 leaked image. We've produced this, what we believe is the ultimate iPhone 6 image. After weeks of research, we've included photo blur, blueprints, a factory setting, and, of course, a nice big watermark. The actual iPhone 6 is included, but it's tough to identify thanks to the slight tilt and the blurring.
Wouldn't it be so true?
It's funny because it's true. I'm not going to do the Washington Post story about Samsung saying, oh, Steve Jobs just died. It's an opportunity. Okay, I just did it.
It's a business.
It's a business.
And it's a deep paraphrase. I mean, you need to know the context in which it is presented.
All right. I don't think anybody's quite that ghoulish. Let's take a break. Even Samsung. Let's take a break. The evil Samsung. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back with our picks of the week in just a moment. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about our good friends at Squarespace. We love a Squarespace, don't you know? It is the all-in-one platform, makes it so easy to create and to modify and post to your own site, whether it's a blog, a portfolio. Yeah, photographers love Squarespace because it looks, you know, it looks fashionable, it's stylish, it looks good, it's modern. Or e-commerce, if you're selling stuff. We use Squarespace here. Everybody I know uses Squarespace for their blogs. We use it for our Inside Twit blog. Platform is constantly improving. Now 25 beautiful templates. New features, new designs, even better support. A logo creator tool. We love that. It's fun. If you're a small business, you don't have a logo, you can make your own. You've got access to the entire library of Google fonts. It's hundreds of fonts that you can use on any site. They're compatible with every browser. It's easy to use, but if you want help, they've got live chat and email support 24/7 from their offices in New York City. So you're talking to somebody who really knows whereof they speak. I like the boat. I like the sailboat. That's a nice chat. That's our new logo, MacBreak Weekly. We're on it. We're on a boat. I like it.
Three-hour tour.
Yeah, sometimes a three-hour. This time it's only about an hour and a half. Easy to use, but if you want some help, of course, they have I mentioned the chat. Now they have e-commerce, by the way, on every template, every plan level. That's great for nonprofits, for school fund drives. I mean, we're talking as little as $8 a month, and you get a free domain name when you sign up for the year. The new Squarespace Metric app for iPhone and iPad checks site stats like page views, social media follows. They've got the blog app. It's just, I love it. I shouldn't have to sell this. Just, it's so easy. It sells itself. Go to squarespace.com and click the Get Started button. You can play with it right now. Import all your content from your existing site. Change your templates at will. Modify them. Drag and drop. You don't have to be a CSS guru. Of course, if you are, they have a great developer platform, but it's not required. The only thing I ask, when you sign up, we know you will, use the offer code MACBREAK and you'll get 10% off on your new account. MacBreak is our offer code at squarespace.com, but you don't even need that just to try it. Squarespace.com. So somebody's telling me that you're hearing Chad my sounds.
It's not a big deal. We can do this.
I'm looking now at the notification center. I've got them turned off.
Wrong area. Go back to the dock.
Well, wait a minute. Let me turn on do not disturb.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And when do not disturb, do not allow FaceTime calls. Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Now where should I go?
Go to the dock.
The dock?
Yeah, the Google Doc.
Oh, our Google Doc. Oh, you mean you're getting Google Doc notifications?
Hit the gear in the chat.
Oh, when you said gear, I didn't.
No.
And play an notification. Oh.
There you go. Turn that off.
So that you were hearing. What does it sound like?
You can turn it back on.
No, it's okay.
Bring.
Really? You've been hearing bring?
Yeah. It's the Google notification.
Oh, but you've been
turning
it down.
Because I've been monitoring your
audio. You're a smart man.
Yeah, we could have done that after the show.
Just, you know, people were hearing it. People ought to know. Leo is an idiot, but Chad's going to save him.
No, it was a good how-to tip, Leo, for everybody.
Yeah.
By the notification.
Way, my pick of the week. There. All right, now, Andy Yannacko's pick of the week, ladies and gentlemen.
Please don't roll your eyes, audiences. This is an Android app, but it's an Android app that lets you use Android phones with the Mac very, very well.
Oh, that was close.
There you go. This is a really cool app called Droid NAS, and it is the absolutely easiest way to share files between an Android device and pretty much anything Apple makes. This is really the entire interface. You tap this button that says Start Server, and I've got my Mac mirrored here, so watch what happens. If you look down here, hopefully after it takes a second for the server to start, announcing via Bonjour on network. If you look down here, there you go. My phone, the Nexus 5, shows up right here as a standard Samba server. And if I click on this, here is the entire file storage of this thing, of this device, which I can then just simply browse. So if I want to pull photos off of it, movies off of it, documents, downloads, if I want to take files off of it, put files onto it, it's just all through this regular Finder interface. It really just sets itself up as a completely standard Samba server. And so it really will work with absolutely everything. The other cool thing about it is that, once again, it is a standard SMB server, which means that here, let me see if I can find something cool. Here's the photos. There you go. Here's the photos thingy folder.
That's the technical name.
Yeah, this is all happening over Wi-Fi, so it's not the fastest thing in the world. But I should not try to demonstrate while I go at the same time. Here we go. Let's take a look at a cool screenshot that I made, maybe. There you go. And actually, I've just realized the lack of wisdom of randomly showing you pictures off my phone, so I'm not going to do that. But trust me that. Let me try something else.
I get the idea.
You get the idea.
You can go in both directions, right? I can copy files to the phone and
exactly. And you're navigating all the
now. Way are you using KitKat? Because supposedly the KitKat update made it weird about copying files to this SD card.
Nope, it works perfectly okay, good. Fine.
Oh, you don't have an SD card. You're on a Nexus 5.
No, this is right. Exactly. Here you go. Actually, hear about this. So if you have an SD card, this may give you fits. Now, the other really cool thing is that, again, it's a standard SMB server, so it will also work on your iPad and on your iPhone if you've got a third-party app that will mount network file share. So it's just it's the times when you take a picture like on your non-Apple phone and you want to edit it in iPhoto. It used to be that, okay, so I guess that just to move this one picture, I'm going to have to upload it into Dropbox and then go into my iPad, which is only a Wi-Fi iPad, and find a way to download it from Dropbox. If I have this, all I have to do now is just simply start the server, open up my server, my client app on my iPad, and then simply move it that way. It's just that easy. Now, the only bummer associated with it has nothing to do with the app, has nothing to do with Android. Mavericks really broke SMB in a really, really hostile way, so that it's possible that if you're running Mavericks, you will launch this app, start the server, and then your Mac will be able to find it but won't be able to connect to it. And then you'll have to like do a workaround or two, of which they've been published in SCADs and SCADs and SCADs since Mavericks came out, to get that to work. But otherwise, it works just fine. And the last thing I'll show you about it that's really cool is that it understands that – I'll stop the server so I can get back here. It understands that there are different – You might not want the entire contents of your phone to be visible. So right now I've got it on the home setting, which is, okay, I trust everybody on this network. It's just, me and my stuffed dog, so I'll let the entire thing. If you tap on office, suddenly you don't get access to the camera roll or the entire contents of the device. If you're in a public internet cafe, all you can get are things you've downloaded and music, and you can adjust these for each situation. So it's not as though you will start this and suddenly you've got this immense security hole on your device. And of course, as soon as you tap stop, it stops being a Samba server, and now it's just regular phone. So it's a free app. It's a really wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's one of those things where it's simple, it works, you can use it in a myriad of different ways. And if you have this just on your device, there will be a time where it will save your bacon, because you'll be thinking, oh man, if only I could do an easy Bluetooth transfer, but I can't. Oh wait, I can establish my phone as a Samba server, and that's how I can get all my data on their Tootsuite.
Cool. Droid NAS from Code Sector. And how much does it cost?
Free.
Free is a good price.
Free is a very good price.
Thank you, Andrew. Mr. Rene Ritchie, your pick of the week.
My pick of the week is an oldie but a goodie, a perennial favorite. It's 1Password. They just announced new versions today. I'm going to check the exact number. I believe it's 4.5 for iOS and 4.3
for Mac,
for OS X.
That's correct.
Yeah, and the new version is, it's been in beta for a while, but it's basically their iOS 7 makeover. It might seem late to be doing an iOS 7 makeover, but they last updated right after iOS 7 or right before or right around iOS 7 launching. And it was already a really good looking app. So they just tweaked it slightly to make it more iOS 7e. And the update for the Mac greatly improves the 1Password Mini. They're also doing, they did a sale when Heartbleed came out. They're doing a sale when these versions come out. I was using it all weekend to change a ton and a ton of passwords because of Heartbleed. And it really does. I am almost completely dependent now on 1Password. When I install a new machine or a new phone or a new tablet, I add Dropbox because that's where my 1Password database is. And then I add 1Password, and then I can log into everything. And it lets me use these 20-character long pseudo random passwords for all these different services. So hopefully when something is compromised, it's one thing that gets compromised and it's really hard to compromise it. There's a bunch of really good password managers, LastPass, Data Vault, all sorts of things. I've always been using 1Password. I like how it works. It works really well for me. And these new versions, I've been beta testing them both for a while, and they've been exceptionally good. And it's a great company. They go above and beyond for their customer service. So I'm always happy when a new version launches.
I wrote a column last week in which not only recommended 1Password, but also said that this is maybe we're at the tipping point now where it's no longer simply a good idea or a convenience to use a password manager. And now these heartbleed bugs and other problems keep coming up so often. The easiest way to address these as they come up is just simply have a password manager generate a new, absolutely bulletproof random password that you never have to deal with, never have to mess with, because it's all being done for you. And the fact that 1Password is 50% off, it's normally about a $70 app, $60 app.
Yes, yeah, $15 on the iPhone, and yeah.
Right, or for the Mac, you can also buy a bundle where you'll get the version for your Mac, for your mobile devices and stuff like that. Really good deal, and you really should jump in on it right now.
It is not Windows or Android, or is it? Is it totally cross-platform?
I think the new Android version is really good. I'm not sure if it's still in beta or not, but I've seen it, and it's fantastic. Yeah. And they have Windows versions as well.
Okay.
Yeah. The Google Play Store version right now kind of stinks, but they are working on that new edition that actually brings it up to snuff.
Sure you guys like it, and I used it for many years, but I got to say I'm really happy with LastPass, and it's a lot less expensive.
Yep.
So, and that as one, far as I know, it does everything this one does.
Yeah. I don't think it's quite as slick.
Maybe not as Mac-ish.
Easy to use.
Yeah,
and also, it's the biggest advantage of LastPass, as far as I'm concerned, is that if you have to manage a group of people and a group of computers, it does things that 1Password just isn't inclined to do. 1Password is for one person at a time. LastPass is for, you can do the entire family's passwords, you can do your entire business's passwords.
My pick is something I already picked, but I just want to give you an update. I did get a swap on the Mac Pro. And I got it on Friday. I sent the old one back, and by the way, right before the old one went back, it stopped recognizing another memory slot. So it was clearly not in a good shape. And I'd forgotten what it was like to use a Mac and not be terrified that it was going to crash at any moment. It's like suddenly you just use the computer and you feel great. So
it was like using Mac OS 9.2 all over again.
I happen to have a lemon, I think. But Apple was very good about replacing it, and the new one is just great. And I really do like this computer, especially if you're willing to spend a little money and get that little big disc from LaCie. The thing is so fast. Just feels good using it.
Best home theater PC ever.
The Apple rep asked me, I guess he listens to this show. Hi, James. He said, and now tell me, we have to, little questionnaire, how are you going to use it? Home theater PC, right? I said, no, not really. That was just a joke. Hey, thank you, Andy Anaka from the Chicago Sun-Times. Always a slice. His picture behind him, just in case you don't know. How could you not know? Is apparently contestants in the Amazing Race giving his cowboy hat to monks. And the monks...
This guy might be Bill Murray. Probably not, but, you know, he probably jumped into the show, told the producer, no one will ever believe you, and then jumped right out again. He is that cool.
thank you, Andy, for being here. Renee Ritchie at iMore.com and the whole Mobile Nations crew. Really a great place to peruse, whether you're a Crackberry fanatic or a Macintosh lover. iMore.com. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Leo.
We will see you back here, everybody. This is Mac Break Weekly. I'm Leo Laporte. We do the show on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. We love it when you watch live. But if you can't, on-demand audio and video is available after the fact at twit.tv. And we do have excellent apps, unofficial apps. We don't do our own apps, but on iPhone, iPad, Roku, and, of course, Android as well. So check out those apps and start watching. Every single day. Thanks for joining us. Now, I see a T-shirt. Don't forget, I'm surprised how slowly these are selling.
I like that shirt.
That's my favorite. You keep forgetting to mention them on the show.
It's a 99 Designs design, and I do. I love it. We asked for designs for a hoodie, and we got five great designs. We got many designs, but we got five we love so much we bought. Just said, you know, we won't use it for the hoodie, but we got it. And there's a tank top version of this. There's women's and everything. Teespring, teespring.com/twit. Time is running out. We will only sell this for a limited time. And if you want to buy it, how much is it, Chad?
$20.
Come here. Look at this. Patrick Delahanty is wearing his. You don't have to be that tall or that good looking to wear this T-shirt, but it wouldn't hurt.
It'll almost cost you more than that to launder whatever dirty shirt you have right now.
Yes.
It's very affordable. Everybody should buy two.
You can't afford not to.
You can't afford not to. Thanks, Patrick. And on that note, get back to work, because you know what? Break time is over.